So last year, we did all of the Mizmorim of Tehillim appropriate for Purim, and a few of the ones that were appropriate for Pesach. So maybe around Pesach time we'll do a few others, but in the interim I thought that it might be appropriate at least to get a start on the Mizmorim of Tehillim that we say on Shabbos. Starting in order, starting from Kabbalah Shabbos. First, we'll go in order. The way Kabbalah Shabbos opens is with Perek Tzadihei, let's sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Naria, and let us shout for joy. Naria is from the language, means to praise. This is a language that comes up in a number, the word Naria comes up in a number of different contexts. In fact, the Radak explains that the word Naria is also related to the word Teruah. So in Tehillim, we say, and on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Ashrei Ha'am Yod'ei Tru'ah. Blessed is the nation that understands, that knows Tru'ah. Tru'ah, says the Radak, is from the language of Naria, from the language of giving praise. Blessed is the nation that knows how to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This entire parak of Tehillim really is divided into two parts. The first part, from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Zion, is a call to praise God, and then from Pasuk Zion onward to the rest of the parak until the end is an admonishment of those who serve God to do so more diligently and to listen to what God tells us. But there are a few questions: what is this Mizmor about, really, and who wrote it? Well, we know that there is a series of 11 Mizmor of Tehillim that we say throughout Shabbos, some on Shabbos morning and some on Friday night, that are not really attributed to any author. Sometimes you have a parak of Tehillim. We spoke about this in our first class. You have a parak of Tehillim that says Mizmor le'Asaf, or one that says L'Matzeach l'Bnei Korach Mizmor, or Mizmor le'David, right? We have a number of different authors, but there is a series of them that don't have any author. Who wrote these? So this series begins with the Mizmor Tefillah LeMoshe Ish HaElokim. Chazal tell us that this series of 11, all of them were written by Moshe. And this is one of them. L'chuna ranana l'Hashem, Nariya l'tzur yishenu, this was written by Moshe. What is the
which 11?
Starting from, I think it's Sadi Aleph, but I don't remember his name.
Okay.
So Moshe wrote these 11 Mizmorim, but what does this have to do with Moshe? So the Al Sheikh explains and goes through this entire parak of Tehillim and explains that this parak is a dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people that were not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, those who were destined to die in the desert, like him. So how does he start? He says, "Lechu neranina nechlechu, go." What does lechu mean? Lechu means go to the next world. Don't worry about not making it into Eretz Yisrael. Lechu. Live your life, and then you will die, and you will go into the next world. And we recognize that that is a source of concern, because it means that their wandering in the desert is a source of significant psychic pain. They knew that it was going to be for naught. What were they going to have to show for it at the end? So as Moshe Rabbeinu continues, Neramina LaHashem, that we will be able to rejoice in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nirana, the who means you go, Nirana, we, all of us, will give praise to HaKadosh Baruch. What does it mean, all of us? It says, I'm not going either. I'm going to die in the desert as well. But we will all be united when we, in the next world, we will sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch.
So when did they know they weren't going in?
Well, after the Chet HaMeraglim. They were condemned for 40 years to wander.
So they knew at that point.
They knew that this was not, that was what was going to happen. But then they said, wait a minute. So those who heard this said, why should we wait until then? Why can't we do tshuva? What they responded, Nikadma panav betoda. Why should we wait in? Let us be proactive. And let us give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let us, and toda is also a language of lehitvadot, vidui, confession. Let us admit that we made a mistake. Let us do tshuva. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept us, and he'll let us go in. And then, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us go in, bizmiros narialo, then we'll be able to offer praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should we sit down and accept our fate and be defeatist, like you're advocating? Bizmiros narialo. First, let's be proactive, and then we'll go in. After all, ki kel gadol Hashem, Umelech gadol al kol Elohim, because God is a great God, and he's a great king above all gods. Note the language, note the different terminologies, different titles that we use to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kel gadol Hashem, Umelech gadol al kol Elohim. You all know, what does kel represent? Kel Elohim, what does that represent? It represents... the other way around. No, so one second. In this case, Kel represents Midas Harachamim, and Melech represents Midas Hadin. When we talk about
the name Hashem.
Hashem represents, that's right. But Kikel Gadol Hashem. Mm-hmm. We use that Hashem referring to Midas Harachamim, then Umelech Gadol Al Kol. When we talk about, when do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech? Right, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So the special time of the year when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, the rest of the time we attempt to invoke the Midas Harachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. He's going to let us in. And furthermore, we admit that we sinned. We made a mistake that we were afraid of Amalek, and we were afraid of the Amori. But why were we afraid of them? What? Because we... Sorry?
We still do it.
Right, but why? So the Jewish people are saying, and we did make a mistake, but we were afraid. Why were we afraid? Because we didn't recognize that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who controls everything in the earth. Asher b'yado mech karei aretz. For in his hands are the depths of the earth. The to'avos harim lo, and the heights of the mountains are his also. We don't understand what's going on our level, on the ground, so we don't know what's going on in the mountains either. That's true even today. In Afghanistan, we have no idea what's going on in the mountains. So we were afraid because we didn't understand this lesson. So now that we recognize this, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let us in. Why? Asher lo hayam v'hu asahu, v'yabeshes yadav yatar, because the sea belongs to him, and the land was made by him. So Eretz Yisrael was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give to us. So surely he will give it to us, because that is what we deserve. So this was the answer that the Jewish people gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. But then Moshe Rabbeinu responds and says, I know that you're going to try and fix up what you did wrong, but you should accept this decree. Both, let us go together. Nishtachave v'nichra. Let us come and let us bow and prostrate ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nivrecha. And let us bend on our knees, let us kneel before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kihu Elokeinu v'anachnu ammar izo. God is our judge. God is our God. And we are the people, we are his flock. Vitzon yado and we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. Hayom in bekolot yishma'u. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us sustenance. And all we need to do, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us, all we need to do is listen to the word of God and go bow down and show reverence to him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, when he's listening to this dialogue, he says, this is really exactly your problem. Al takshu levavchem kimriva. You know, you are trying to take, your heart is being hardened. Don't be stubborn. You're trying to fix up mistakes that you made, and those mistakes are the result of systemic errors. They're not the result. It's not like you can take a quick action and it'll go away. You need to really change yourselves fundamentally. This was the problem of Riva, that you weren't interested in any kind of real commitment. You were interested in some kind of quick fix, and you just fought. You fought amongst one another in Meriva. Hashem Yisuni Abel Seichem, where your forefathers tried me, Bechanuni, and you proved me, Vigamra Ufa'oli, and you saw my work. So the Jewish people in that generation had benefited from and had witnessed so many of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles, and you've experienced God's tests, and you still failed. You were stubborn. How did they fail? First of all, they complained all the time, and even before that, or during that, they built the golden calf, the Egel HaZahav. So, you're just being stubborn. You need to be more humble. You need to understand that you can't just correct all of your mistakes by doing quick fixes. You need to get your act together, and you need to get serious. Therefore, but as Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but nevertheless, I am still going to I'm going to be a little bit merciful. Abaim shana akut bedor. I have decided. I let you wander in the. I was tired with you. I let you wander in the desert for 40 years. Ve'amar am to'el avavhein. And I say that these people make mistakes and they err in their heart. Ve'hein lo yadu derachai, and they don't know my ways. Asher nishbati ve'api, and therefore I swore in my wrath, im yavohun el menuchasi, that they won't enter. Menuchasi refers to Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk tells us, ki lo vasim adata, until now you have not arrived, el hamenucha ve'el hanachala, until to the place of rest and the place of inheritance. That's also the name of a street in Yerushalayim, Menucha ve'nachala. It's a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they won't enter into the place in which I rest, but, I said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's only El Menuchasi, in the place in this world. There is still a place for them in the next world. So, yes, I have set forth an agenda, and I understand that there is, I'm telling you that you need to get serious, and you need to start acting in a certain sense like adults, to recognize that you can't just solve problems through quick fixes and through doing tshuva that is too little too late. You need to change. But that doesn't mean that because you lost out this time that you have lost out completely. You will be able to get in, even if you won't get in El Menuchasi, you will get in into the next world. The pasuk tells us, this is the way that Al-Shech explained this entire Mizmor of Tehillim, that it's a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and between Moshe and the Jewish people, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering. The pasuk tells us, "Bo nishtachaveh v'nichra'a nivrecha l'tnei Hashem Oseinu." Is anybody familiar with Perek Shira? Anybody say Perek Shira? You say it? Perek Shira is a very old text that is dated around the time of the Tanakh, the time of the Mishnah times, and it is a list of many different animals and the song that they sing. The idea that every animal has a special attribute to it and a special song that the animal sings is part of the beautiful song of nature. And also, of late, Perek Shira has become very popular, because it has been invested with a certain amount of miraculous abilities, and it's supposed to be a smula for all sorts of wonderful things to say Perek Shira. I once saw somebody with a number of screaming children whose wife was asking him to please help out with the kids, and he said he couldn't because he was saying Perek Shira, and the cynical Litvak and me thought that perhaps helping out with the kids is a greater skula than saying Perek Shira. But in any event, so...
maybe that's what he was, that was a miracle.
He was praying for Shalom Bayis while ignoring his wife. I don't know. This is on the... So, in Perek Shira it says, what is the song of the dog? What is the so the says that the song of the dog is this pasuk. Bo nishtachavev enichra nivrecha lifnei Hashem osein. Let us bow down and bend at the knee and kneel before God, our Maker. What is the connection between this pasuk and the dog and the dog?
Relationship of man and his master and the dog. The dog's supposed to.
That the dog is man's best friend.
Man's best friend. And he's first.
Unconditional love.
Yes, and look up towards man as his master.
Okay.
And
so.
Heals with
him. Okay, so that's certainly one. That's one. I think that's kind of in the same vein as what I thought might be an explanation. The pasuk tells us, "Ulechol bnei Yisrael." The pasuk in three weeks ago. Pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us that at the time of the Makas Bechoros, "Ulechol bnei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev lishono," for a dog did not bark or bite at the Jewish people the entire time. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that in the merit of not having barked, the animal received another reward. In this past week's parsha, the Torah says, "Uvasar basadet treifa lo sochelu." Don't eat any animal that is dead in the field. Lakelev tashlichu noso. Send it to the dogs. This is the reward for the dogs, that the dogs were quiet at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the what is so great about the dogs being quiet? The answer, I think, is that that was very much against their nature. Dogs are wired to bark at intruders or bark at strangers or at situations that they view as being anomalous. Right? That's why people have guard dogs or attack dogs. They train dogs to react. Or dogs that sniff drugs, and so on. Dogs react to situations, and they react strongly to situations that they view as being out of the ordinary from what they normally perceive. So,
when I was a kid and I was in Israel the first time, I remember we were afraid. We were walking in the street, and I don't remember what we were afraid of. But one of my friends said to say that pasuk.
Right, that's the people. Jews don't. Jews often are afraid of dogs, and they say that pasuk when dogs, you know, are attacking them. So this was in a certain sense going against their nature. Bo nishtachavev v'nichra nivrecha lifnei Hashem oseinu. What does that mean? It means let us bow down, let us kneel before God. Why is this the pasuk for the dogs? Because the dogs played such a pivotal role in that they went against their nature. Just as dogs were able to curb their better nature or their natural tendency in order to, and were rewarded for that, so too that is a lesson for us. Because we are taught, human beings are taught, especially in today's society, that it's all about self-promotion. We shouldn't be humble, we should promote ourselves, we should do whatever we can to get ahead. It's very difficult for us to kneel and prostrate before a higher being, to make ourselves humble before God. Bo nishtachavev enichra, let us bow down and prostrate ourselves and make ourselves humble before God. That is the song of the dog, because that is what the dog is about. And it's true that the dogs are also obedient. And they are, and they crave affection, and they love unconditionally. And in a certain sense, the obedience and unconditional love is a model for a relationship that we should have with God. We have to. But it also means that we have to, that in order to do this, we have to curb ourselves. So this is a model for us as well as a challenge for us. And perhaps a lesson from the Perek Shira, a lesson even the dogs can teach us something about how to serve God, and something about how to grow personally. Thank you so much.